Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Ray.
Yeah, it's football Christmas morning. Everybody gets to open their presents in 3 hours and unwrap those first football games of the season, not counting the Thursday nighter that I'm sure my co-host doesn't really want to talk that much about. But we are here. We are excited and we are ready for football. You are listening to In Much Less Detail, the podcast here live on a Sunday morning, September the 10th, 2023. I'm Dre. He's Jay. We're going to get you all your picks for the rest of week one. We're going to talk a little bit about the Thursday nighter that opened the season. That was a big surprise to a lot of people, but maybe not to some of us.
Wait a minute. Well, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
If you're claiming geniusness for 1-0 after that dumpster fire dog shit game, this is going to be an intolerable season. Because
first of all,
game
I'm always
was dog shit.
Number one,
that
I'm
game,
always intolerable.
That game
That's
was
who I
unwatchable.
Am.
It reminded us of everything we love, the NFL is back, and everything that we hate. No officiating, inconsistent officiating, horrible play on the field. And yes, somebody had to win the game, and good for the Lions. But if you walked out of that knowing anything about either one of those teams, good for you. I know you're feeding the narrative, and you got to stroke the ego because you're 1-0. You're going 273-0. Good for you, but no, I'm not doing the narrative play here with you. That was an awful football game.
Of course you're not doing it. You lost the pick.
That
sounds like somebody who lost the pick.
So I would have felt that way if I won the pick.
Yeah, sure. Okay. No, it was, it wasn't very pretty. None of the week one games are ever very pretty. But especially, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're a Kadarius Toney fan, and oh my goodness, that was pretty much it right there.
Well,
the officiating wouldn't have mattered if he could have caught the ball.
We're supposed to have this, ascension, this anointing of the Lions who did nothing on offense.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't see anything that's like for all these people who were like pushing the Lions. I mean, there were nice things in the game. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs looked really good. They didn't use him enough, but he looked really good. We're picking games that count, but we might as well just start picking preseason games next year. I mean,
This was a preseason game.
Right. So, I mean, if we're going to count these, well, let's just count all of it because that was, especially towards the end, because what I really noticed is, because I felt bad for the Chiefs, first of all, because, what are you supposed to do when you got one receiver by himself? I told you, I was texting you, I was looking for the cash sticking out of his back pocket. But
was he trying to lose that game or what?
Oh, my God. You could also see that the Chiefs' defense just ran out of gas in the fourth quarter because they couldn't – David Montgomery was just barreling through them. And they weren't used to playing four quarters. And it was – what an awful football game. But, hey, I'm good for you. I'm glad you won. I hope you feel like you got 15 more winners here ready to go based off of that performance.
I always feel like that. the Lions showed more on offense than I think you're giving them credit for. I was actually struck by how different and more confident Jared Goff looks. Like, another year in that offense, and now he really does. When he was letting those throws go, he really looked like he knew where it was going. He really was putting his balls in a real good place. The running game, as you mentioned, looked pretty good, better late as the Chiefs started to wear down. It helped a lot, of course, that as we talked about before the game, Clark and Jones were not there, and they really missed them. And yet, yeah, with all of that, Chiefs still should have won the game because Kadarius Toney had multiple opportunities.
I mean, the Chiefs were up and covering in the going into the fourth quarter ish
before Toney popped that ball in the air for the pick six.
Yeah,
that was
and the Chiefs,
an interception
the Chiefs,
right on
the
receiver's
Chiefs,
hands.
Right. Well, the Chiefs' defense were also holding them down, and then you get the pick six that just completely flips the game.
Yeah.
Upside down. It felt like the fumble in the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Right? Like, because the Eagles were running away with that football game. They were completely dominating the Chiefs. And then Hurts just goes, and just gives the other team the ball. And then he gets a scoop and score. It was the opposite. I mean, I love how the memes are all just showing the ball perfectly in between Kadarius Toney's hands. And then say that this was a touchdown for the other team.
This is a defensive score for your DFS players. This ball that was right on the receiver's hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Any more perfectly, like right in between the hands, like right where, even where you're supposed to catch it. And then, I don't know, ball like grease, poof, right through.
Uh-huh.
And then perfectly falls into the DB's hands and, rookie, first game. Oh, look what I found.
That is a gift.
Yeah, so I am not projecting anything for the future success of either one of these teams based off of that game. Now, obviously, the outlook for the Lions was good, and I'm not going to be like, well, I'm down on the Lions after that game. I'm not even going to say I'm that down on the Chiefs, other than that AFC is way too competitive for them to gag up a game like that. And, when we get late in the season, when every little L matters, when you're sitting at 12 or you're sitting at 13 and we start talking about home field, it'd be really hard for them not to look back at giving one away. And for what you now call the Kadarius Toney game.
There's no other way I could see that game. That game was the Chiefs should have won that game if not for Kadarius Toney. Multiple drops and the pick six all on him.
Yeah.
Completely.
Before we get too deep into it, though, do you think the Chiefs are getting a note or a letter or something this week about Juwan Taylor lined up in the backfield on every play?
No, because the refs are right there. They could have called that anytime they wanted.
But it was so highlighted. Even when the official guy that they have is sitting there, was that Terry McClory or whoever it was, even when they go to him and he's like, yeah, this is awful. Then when the sanctioned guy is up there. So I had that sense that, no, it's not going to be that you're going to just start seeing this flagged a ton. I'll just wonder next week if he's crept up a little bit closer, because each team, whatever, they get to have their meeting with the refs, because I guarantee you every team going into that meeting with the refs going forward, because now it's spotlight. I don't care if he was doing it in Jacksonville. He could have been knifing dudes on every play in Jacksonville and nobody would have cared because he was in Jacksonville, or if you're in Seattle. But you're playing for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and you're the world champs. Everybody is going to be on this now. But I thought that was pretty funny when even the NFL officiating expert was like, this is awful. This is terrible.
I've seen other tackles do that before, trying to get that jump on the blind side. So it's not the first time. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not changing a thing. I'm going to keep doing it every time until the refs call it, because
so
why not?
Throwing, yeah.
Just keep doing. Oof.
Yeah. And then they did call it on the last play.
Right.
Yeah.
Took him a while, but they figured it out. Maybe
they
Goodell
sent
him a note down or something.
Well,
hey,
it wasn't just
guys.
That he was lined up in the backfield. It was also that he actually jumped ridiculously early on that one play.
That's the thing. He was in the backfield because he was moving before the ball was snapped.
Yeah. Now, on a lot of them, when I was watching what they were showing, I wasn't having so many issues with the timing because, boy, him and the ball are almost in – I mean, it is really – you got to go frame by frame. It's really close. So good on him on having that timing down. You can see why the Chiefs got this guy. The problem was, you know, he's a slot receiver on half the plays.
He needs to make himself eligible. He's lined
eligible,
up so far.
Yeah, just make yourself eligible and line up in the slot and then put the slot receiver up on the line. And then you
number
can come
76 or whatever his number is eligible and also the left tackle.
Yes.
At the same time. The only thing I take away from the game is you can only lose so many superstars. We talked about Jones. We talked about Clark and then Travis Kelce going down. That's just a bridge too far, even with Tony making those catches and winning the game for the Chiefs. But because you don't have those superstars, when the Kadarius Tony game happens, you can't look around and, you know, make up for that. You can't, okay, fine, screw you. I'll go to Kelce. Oh, Kelsey's not here. Screw you, I'll go to Tyreek Hill. Well, Tyreek Hill's not here. But there's nowhere else you can really go. And Sky Moore still isn't doing what he's supposed to do. So that's the only takeaway I take. Is you can only lose so much if you're the Chiefs.
I don't think it was that he lost the superstar. He lost the safety blanket. You know, you could lose Tyreek Hill because you're not just looking for him. You know, Travis Kelce was wide open because he got himself wide open and made all these plays, and they ran everything through him. So a lot of the times when Mahomes was, like, it looked like all herky-jerky, how many times was it like he would have thrown to Kelce by now? He would have, you know, so you could see.
Oh, yeah.
And with all that still being said, they still should have won the game.
They should have, but they didn't because I picked Lions and put money on it by accident. But it counts.
I was gonna say
still counts.
That actually is the exception.
Right.
So what I recommend is that you keep putting money on games.
No, your problem is when I put money on games and I intend to do
that
it.
You accidentally. Yeah, but then you should have picked against it because then you were guaranteed one winner.
Just cancel it out. Just short it.
Correct.
Right before
you
the
either
game
get
starts.
A win with us or you get a win of money. Well, you know. Since you make no money off of this, make money.
I let it ride, and it worked for one night.
For one game, and I'm glad you feel so great.
I do. Very proud. Also very tired coming off of doing the college game last night in Jonesboro. Whew, what a late night. But I'm here. We got 15 more games to pick, and we're going to give you all the other safety blankets that are hurt and not going to be there for their teams, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me, and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. All right, it is the week that we all have all been waiting for. Our football fandom has been waiting for week one to come. It is finally here, and we are ready to make our picks. So, Jay, ready to go?
I am, but I was just thinking, listening to that, how soothing the plugs are. I think you need to do the plugs like you do the intro.
BlogTalkRadio.com/InMuchLessDetail.
Yeah.
Michael Jordy. I need more caffeine to do that. I need more caffeine. Let's get started with the Dirty South. Panthers versus Falcons. Oh, boy. Both teams 7-10, and you would think they're both kind of down in the dumps, but both of us picked one of those teams to bounce all the way back and win the division.
Well, somebody has to.
This is true. And we both surprised each other with that one. Carolina will not have their receiver, DJ Chark. Guess what? He's got a hamstring injury. You're going to hear a lot of that. Falcons don't have their cornerback, Jeff Okuda. He's got a foot injury. Panthers with their rookie quarterback starting off the procedures with Bryce Young. They are 3.5-point underdogs down in Atlanta.
Now, I'll tell you, as a lifelong Falcons fan, that they just – I don't know if the stats are going to back me up on this, but unknown and rookie QBs just eat their lunch for some reason. So I think everybody's, like, real high on Atlanta this week to come in. And I'm taking Atlanta to win the game, but I'm taking the hook. I'm taking Carolina and the points. Division matchup. They don't like each other. This whole division doesn't like each other. It is the Dirty South. And while I think that Atlanta plays a brand of football, we called them Titan South on the preview show, that does lend itself to closer games. So I need to see more from Desmond Ridder. I need to see this new look offense. I mean, they could come out and just completely blow the doors off the Panthers if they can get to Bryce Young. But till I actually see it on the field, I'm taking a close field goal game here. I think that everybody comes out a little tight. Ridder comes out a little tight. I'm really interested in seeing Bijan Robinson. I mean, I would just love to see him just go nuts and go off and fill that Derrick Henry role and be a pass catcher and do all the things they're saying he's going to do. But it's week one.
Yeah.
Tight game. 2017-ish feel to it. I'll take the Carolina and the points.
Not only everything you just said, but the fucking same score. What the hell, dude? You've been reading my notes? yeah, they got the Spider-Man meme going because both their offenses are similar. I don't see the Panthers or the Falcons lighting up the sky through the air. I think they're both going to rely on ground games. And yeah, I think Atlanta's going to win by three. I have Atlanta to win. I can't imagine winning by more than a field goal. And I had 2017 as my prediction. So, yeah, you can't be more lockstep for the first pick. We have the exact same score and the exact same team winning. So there you go. All these lines, by the way, off of BetMGM.com this morning. The only difference from that in the covers handicapping contest, a lot of hooks, a lot more hooks for BetMGM right now. So I don't know if that's a function of Sunday morning or if that's how it's a lot less pushes. Only you're only going to have three numbers that don't have a hook on.
Didn't we have a ridiculous number of pushes last year?
Yeah, I felt like it. Felt like it was double digit pushes.
No, we had like 10. I mean, it was, you know,
So we're going to not have that many today. Three at the most. Next,
watch
we have
all three
the Houston
push.
Probably. The Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. More rookie quarterback action. Texans 3-13-1 last year, bring in their new coach, D'Amico Ryans, 10-7, and all their drama and injuries. So they're back whole as they're going to be with Lamar Jackson healthy and back. Dr. Lamar is ready to rock and roll. For the Texans, they're already going to be down their cornerback Jimmy Ward with a hip injury and receiver John Metchie. Guess what? He's got a hammy. And the Ravens are down their cornerback Mark Marcus Humphrey's got a foot injury. And speaking of safety blankets, Mark Andrews, unlikely to play as of the reports this morning with the knee injury. With that, the Texans are still the underdog. This is actually still the biggest spread of the week. Texans are plus 9.5 at the Ravens.
Yeah. Hey, that opened to 10, so somebody put money on Houston.
It might just be the sharps at BetMGM.
Yeah, it could be. And there will come a day when Lamar Jackson's body falls apart and it's not what it used to be. And there will come a day when I don't lock the Baltimore Ravens in week one, but this is not that day. Like we said before the show, it's a tradition unlike any other. Lock the Ravens week one. The over-under on this is 43.5. The Ravens might get this by themselves.
Beg for D'Amico Ryans? Wow. Yeah, which fresh, brand-new offense will perform well right out of the box? It's week one, so probably neither. I know Baltimore's week one history as well as you do, and I respect it. But traditions are made to be broken. Streaks are made to be broken. The Ravens' preseason streak was broken because, of course, I put money on it. But outside of that, I'm just worried. It's, you know, Lamar and the brand new offense, very first game, preseason game, week four, basically, as we always call week one. That's too many points. I can't do it. Can't do it.
What? Oh, my God.
I'm taking the Texans in the points. I know.
Hey, you know what? If you pull this one off,
can't do it.
If you pull this one off, now I will tell you, even though I have this as my lock of the week, my wife's in the survivor pool, and I did not tell her to take Baltimore. So
see, you're kind of down.
But
see, because last year, no doubt, Baltimore.
No, because the team I told her to take is never going to get picked again this season. So
okay.
You guys will think about that, right? Because if you take the Ravens, you burn the Ravens in the survivor pool.
I understand that, but we've always said you kind of want to burn them early, too, because later on in the season, they're going to fall apart, as you already said. Got to think about those things.
It's
right?
John Harbaugh. It's week one. It's Lamar. It's going to be wide open. God, do you remember that one season when it was week one and he threw 5 touchdowns?
Yeah. Yeah, very much.
This might look like that. I hope it does.
I'm going.
And 10 covers. That's beautiful.
Yeah, you get that hook. I'm trusting in CJ Stroud. I don't know.
I mean,
I'll
take 13-3. Yeah, I don't know where Houston's getting the points from. I think that's where the problem I have is. But we'll find out.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure either, but I'm taking the points. I just think that's a lot of points for Lamar and a brand new offense. I'll make him prove it to me. On to the first battle of Ohio of the season of two, because the Bengals and Browns always play two in the same division. Cincy going to Cleveland, 12-4 last year. Browns 6-10. Joe Burrow and his calf has always been the question mark to start the season. He's going to go. He hasn't played all preseason. Just got back to practice, but he's going to get out there against Myles Garrett, and best of luck to Mr. Burrow behind that offensive line. Probably because of that, Bengals are a very slight favorite. They're only -1.5 at the Browns.
You said exactly what I was going to say when I made the pick. Joe Burrow, nicked up, gets the bag, first game, Myles Garrett? No, I'm taking the Browns to win.
Mm-hmm. Can't blame you at all for that. Joe Shiesty threw 4 INTs last year, week one, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hell, maybe missing Campbell.
That was a ugly game.
Uh-huh. Maybe missing Campbell helped him because he could just get out there and ball. He doesn't have to worry about that. He's just, okay, I haven't played in a month. I haven't practiced. Let's just go out there and play football and not worry about any of that. You know, Cleveland pass rush may put him back in the locker room. I completely understand that. But taking the Bengals, it's only 1.5. They're clearly a better team than the Browns on pretty much every level. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati, and then I'm on to Cincinnati, and just hope that I can get away with week one.
Okay. I mean,
we're on to Cincinnati.
It's the smarter pick.
Gotta have some safe picks, especially in week one. I still got some crazy ones. We got a long way to go. Jaguars, Colts. We pick them all, folks. Yet another rookie quarterback getting his first starts. Got a lot of them this week. Got three of them. For the Colts, also in addition to Anthony Richardson, they got that Jonathan Taylor situation. He's on PUP with that ankle injury. I call it shady PUP because I don't think he's really – if you pay attention to his socials, he's not really hurt, but they got him on PUP anyway, so he's not going to play first four games. Darius Leonard finally is going to return from being dumplings, but that'll be his first game action in a long time, so we'll see how that turns out for him. Jags, 9-8, coming off of the incredible playoff win last year. Colts 4-12-1, coming off the stench of the Jeff Saturday era. Jags are the favorites here, -4.5 at the Colts.
Yeah, full strength. All systems go here for the Jaguars. They take that offense that really rounded into form last year. Trevor Lawrence took the big leap. They get Travis Etienne back. They add Calvin Ridley to that mix. It's just weapons all over. Have them winning this division, which I completely understand. I'm not one. I have them in the wild card. I don't have them winning the division. But there's a lot of people who also have this as like a 13-win team in the AFC. Okay. I mean, there might not be a 13-win team in the AFC. The AFC is so loaded this year. But that's farther down the road. That's a conversation for another day. Colts might be the worst or second worst franchise in the league. They're really bad. The way they handled this Jonathan Taylor thing where you're worth a first-round pick from another team, but you're not worth getting paid. I don't get it. So just sit here and we'll get nothing. That's even better.
Smart.
Good luck, Anthony Richardson and the web. It got a few things. I could see him hanging around for a little while in this game. But in the dome on the turf, I think the Jags just flipped this thing upside down in the second half. I'll take the Jags squish.
My latest sound drop is indicative of Jim Irsay and some of the decisions that the Colts make in there.
Uh-oh.
Remember like 15, 20 years ago, this reporter went on the air, I think out in California, trying to report on the Grammys or the Oscars and just basically had a stroke or meltdown right in the middle of her report.
Oh,
well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Terrestrian, those for the bet to have the pet.
That's pretty much what Jim Irsay sounds like every time he speaks these days. So, and the decisions that he makes sounds like that as well. Yeah, I know I'm very classless for pulling that, but wow, what a tape, huh? What a sound drop. I don't know where to put that, like in our, after show decisions on what our drops are going to be for our recap show, but
yeah, that's like struggling almost.
Yeah, right. That's a longer version of struggling pretty much. Because he was really struggling. The Colts should really be struggling, too. Nice soft start for the Jags. I'd be shocked if Anthony Richardson hits the ground running. Trevor Lawrence lighting up the secondary kind of feels like a DFS steal, if I may. You're in the dome. You don't have to worry about weather. So that might be something to think about for you players out there this morning. I will concur and take the Jaguars. On to the Titans and Saints in hot South Division action, AFC versus NFC. Tennessee. 7-10. New Orleans, 7-10, both trying to bounce back. New Orleans has to put their receiver, Tre'Quan Smith, on the PUP list with a groin injury. So they're not starting off so strong. And, of course, Alvin Kamara will not be there, serving a three-game suspension for the fight that he got into. Tennessee, slight underdog in this one, +2.5 at New Orleans.
Yeah, and funny thing is I like that we're using these like to-the-minute lines here. I don't like it for this pick because I'm taking the underdog Titans, but
yeah.
I picked this game an hour ago at 3.
Yeah.
So there's movement. We're taking this thing right up to the wire here, Titans +2.5, but I'm taking the Titans. Again, I said this in the preview show. This was a 7-3 team last year. Before Tannehill got hurt and things started falling apart. And when you want the Titans to do their thing, it's when they're fresh. So this just feels like a Titans spot. You're familiar with this team being down there. Nobody's talking about them. A lot of people have this as a last – I can't believe there's people that have this as a last-place team. But there's people out there that say this team's just completely done. And after that collapse and crater last year, I could see it. But Mike Vrabel's a good coach. Derrick Henry's at full strength. Tannehill's back. DeAndre Hopkins. Treylon Burks was nicked up, but I guess he's playing because I did not hear him on
the list.
He'll
be out there. I don't think he's going to have a long playlist, but he'll be out there.
As close to full strength as you can get with the Titans, where there's continuity there with New Orleans, it's all new. It's Derek Carr. It's no Alvin Kamara. I think they're going to fumble more. This might feel more preseason-like for them, where all the Titans have to do is give the ball to 22 and go have fun. So I'll take the Titans, go on the road, sneak a win, ugly game, take the under.
I understand that. This is a tough pick for me either way. Both offenses to me have parts that look old and declining. As I said, I love Derrick Henry, but he's definitely losing a step. And Tannehill's got to prove that to me, the connection with Hopkins and with Treylon Burks. Go and do it. You know, it's there for you if you can pull it off, if you're consistent enough to pull it off. I don't trust Tannehill to be consistent enough to pull that off. So by a slight margin, I'm going with the Saints. This almost feels like maybe they're down in the fourth quarter and Derek Carr just starts, you know, bombing it to Chris Olave over and over and daring the Titans to stop it, and they can't stop it, and he wins on a last-second touchdown or something like that. So it's a close pick for me, but I'm going to go against you and go with the Saints. And I love giving the 2.5. If they win by a field goal, I'll take it.
Yeah, like I said, I picked that at 3 an hour ago when I did my sheets, and I'm like, oh, that's not 3.
No, Sharps have bumped that down a little. San Francisco goes out to Pittsburgh, West going east in that one. Niners at 13-4 last year. Steelers somehow at 9-8. They just keep finding ways to finish over 500. And we both got them in the playoffs this year. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. That was our surprise because we don't have the Ravens. We actually, I think, was that our Kumbaya division?
I believe you're right, yes. So for the Niners, Nick Bosa has no practice time. He doesn't need it. He finally got his deal, and he's going to be out there. George Kittle, however, has a groin injury. I think he's going to play, but I don't think he's going to be anywhere near full strength for that one. Niners are still the favorite, -2.5 at the Steelers.
Yeah, they get Brock Purdy back. He gets his first live, you know, real game action since he fell apart in the championship game, and then just that. Boy, they've had that awful taste in their mouth since that big letdown game. And this is now they get to go out there, and yeah, preseason doesn't count. This is their first time as a team, mostly intact, to go out there and prove it. But they're going to run, I think, into a buzzsaw here. I think that Pittsburgh defense, T.J. Watt, he's going to be coming after them. I think they're going to blow this thing up. I don't think San Francisco goes west to east here and sneaks out with the win. I'm taking the Steelers straight up.
Should be a good. This is another very tight one. I went back and forth. Nick Bosa versus T.J. Watt. Let's go. Let's see who's going to wreck shop, which edge rusher is going to destroy the other team first. Brock Purdy versus Kenny Smallhands might be a good matchup, sort of underrated on paper. I was trying to lean Kyle Shanahan. You know how much I respect the Shanahanigans and what he's done with that Niners offense as a difference maker. And Trent Williams as maybe the difference maker to stop or slow down T.J. Watt. There's a much better left tackle for the Niners, the Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, as opposed to what the Steelers are running out there. I think they're going to run the whoever rookie that they drafted at left tackle. So that might be the difference. But I'm still going to agree and take the Steelers. I just got that weird feeling. San Fran's going west to east early game. It's very close, but I'm going to, by a very small margin, concur and take the Steelers, maybe even to lose by 2. Maybe they lose the game, but they don't lose by 3. Maybe it might even be that close.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a good game. This is one of those sneaky noon starts. This might be the best of the noon starts.
I think I would concur with that. This will not be the best of the noon starts. The Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders. Sorry. We do pick them all. Arizona at 4-13 last year and starting all over with the new regime, new quarterback, Colt McCoy, way too successful. Got to dump him. Got to bring in Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs.
The choke for Caleb. That's the starting quarterback. That's the mantra for Arizona this year. And Washington, Chase Young's got a stinger. He's going to be out, so that's a little bit of a help for the Cardinals. Nonetheless, he's still a big underdog. Cards are +7 at the Commandos.
I believe that by the end of this season, the Cardinals will be pining for the heady days of winning 4 games. I'm actually under, I think, on them this year. I might be under 2 on them if there was a prop bet for that in Vegas. This is the worst team in football. I mean, and they're on purpose the worst team in football. They're clearly not trying. This was, by the way, the Washington team Manderskins, the team that I told my wife to take in her survivor pool. So that tells you what I think of this game. Yeah, it's Sam Howell. We really don't know what to expect of him, but it's probably going to feel more like a scrimmage. Washington's got a really good running game. They've got good wide receivers. Terry McLaurin was banged up. Looks like he's going to go because I did not see him on the final injury listing as far as not going to go. That just amplifies Dotson and Samuel. And that's actually a very loaded offense. I think they blow the doors off the Cardinals here. So I'll take Washington squish. Almost locked this one up.
Well, we're going to see things slightly different in this one. There's ways to make money on these games that make you throw up still. Because I looked at Josh Dobbs versus Sam Howell, and the first thing that lit my brain up was flood the under. Just kill this under, people. I don't know what the number is. Just kill it. Murder it. Because I can't imagine either team getting past like 15 points. I'm honestly.
I mean, 16-3 is still a cover.
It is. It also is the under by a mile, I'm sure.
Yes.
So that's the better bet.
38 is the over-under. I don't see this game sniffing 38.
No. I mean,
the only way this game sniffs 38 is if Washington gets 35 of them.
But the Commandos, the Potato Skins, they're already complaining about Eric Bieniemy's hardcore training. They're talking about he's too hard on them, too rough on them during training camp. And you know what that says to me? Those players are screaming out to Eric Bieniemy, hey, we're not the Chiefs, all right? We're not that good. Stop running us and drilling us like we're Pat Mahomes and all these Chiefs and whatnot. We're not that. No, I don't think they're going to destroy. I don't know if they're capable of destroying anybody. Maybe they will be later in the year as things go on and they train better and train harder. But right now, preseason week 4, no, I'll take the points. I'll take the cards and the 7 points.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
I hope they don't win the game. They're trying actively not to win games. I understand that. But 7 is a lot for that Commandos offense. On to, this is the late afternoon action. And we'll start up there with the Packers and the Bears and the oldest rivalry in the NFL. And all of these storylines surrounding this one. Green Bay with their new starter, Jordan Love, taking over for their old starter, Aaron Rodgers. The Bears, the most hyped 3-14 team in the history of football. I think we've already established that behind their guy. Welcome to Soldier Fields. Of course, being a Bears fan, I hope things go very well for him. Not going to start off too well for Jordan Love just because, again, hammies. Christian Watson out. Got a hamstring injury. Romeo Doubs. I think he's going to play, but he's got a hamstring injury. I wouldn't rely too much on
him. Might be dragging his leg behind him a little bit,
Hey, I'm out here. I'm playing. I'm not anywhere near a top speed.
Against
previous 100%.
Bears defenses, that would suffice.
Yeah. Did I lose you or did I lose my headphones?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, I told you my
And before I just want to point out for point of order here, before we get too deep, because let's make this Bears Packers pick, but I think we skipped an early game because I don't think we did Tampa, Minnesota yet.
Okay. I was reading straight off the BetMGM, so they must not have a line for that one.
I have one from BetMGM on the covers.com page. So.
All right. I'll go back to BetMGM and see what they have to say. But we already started on the
Yeah, so let's
Bears
do that
Packers.
One and then we can circle back.
Packers are a very slight underdog, +1.5 at the Bears.
Yeah, now, that had been, I've seen that line, 2.5 for the Bears. I've seen it sneak back to the Packers. I've seen it sneak back to the Bears. What a crazy line. Now, you want your narrative plays here, right? You're the Bears. you have had to put up with this team whooping your ass for 30 years, right? You had to put up with Favre. You had to put up with Rodgers. You had to put up with Don Majkowski, the Magic Man, back before that. If you cannot muster all it takes in front of this home crowd to kick the puppy when it's down, then it's going to be another long season because you don't get these guys again until the very last game. So that taste in the mouth will linger for either one of these teams all season long. And if the Bears are not summoning the ghosts of Walter Payton and George Papa Bear, I mean, it should be everything that they have to win this game, and they cannot go out and lose and lay an egg in this game. Not to this team without Rodgers. You finally got them where you wanted. All the Bears fans are, oh, yeah, this is Field, this is our year. This team can't stop the run. We should run it down these guys' throats. I'm taking the Bears. Completely expecting them to gag on it.
And missing whatever weapons that Jordan Love has, and will he be able to even get them the ball? All of that. I'm taking the Bears, hoping to God that they don't gag on it, and possibly giving them the ultimate kiss of death, because this is why I couldn't lock up the Ravens this week. Well, I don't have the Ravens anyway, but come on, Chicago.
Okay, man.
Come on. Let's go.
You got the blueberry and the orange Kool-Aid just mixing them together. You tried it last year, and it was a bitter pill to swallow. So, all right, Rodgers is gone. Rodgers, you've been that guy for like 3 years. Let's get him out of here. Let's go. They can't lose to Jordan Love and this banged-up Packers team. They can't, can they?
You just named all the reasons why they can't. I'm right along with you, absolutely. The difference is I actually believe it. I don't know if you really believe
it. I believe
that.
It I
don't
think, I'm not picking them because I think they're going to win. I'm picking them because they have to. If they don't, I'm driving about 100 miles south just so I can sit in radio range of the score and listen.
What's
to
the
Bears sports talk.
Bears?
I'll call sick into work all week just so I can sit there and I'll have my headphones on, or I'll be in my car just laying back listening to the score all week. Because could you imagine if Jordan Love balls out and beats this Bears? I'm sure if you played this game 100 times, it'll happen a few. But come on, Bears. You cannot let these guys beat you.
There will certainly be high suicide watching in Chicago if they do lose to the Packers.
Domestic violence will soar.
You know, we're in the new age now, Jay. You don't have to go through that and drive down and whatnot. You can stream the score. You can stream.
Yeah, I know. It's a joke.
Okay.
But I might. I might be streaming some 6:70 a.m. if this thing goes upside down.
The hell's the matter with these guys? Fire them all.
There's some sneaky shootout potential to this game, though, by the way. I like the over on this one. It's at 41.5. I think this goes over.
I wound up right at 41, so I guess I don't feel strong either way.
What was your 24-17?
31-10. You better beat the fuck out for the Packers.
Wow, like a drum.
Like a drum, exactly.
Bang on that drum all day.
Damn right. All right. BetMGM has a line for Vikings Bucks. Yeah. I may have skipped it because I'm very tired, but it may not have
it's
been there before.
I'm just going through my list here, and I was like, "Well, you said we're in the afternoon games," and I'm like, "Oh, they didn't, unless they flexed Tampa Bay, Minnesota." I think we missed one.
Thank you very much for calling that out, because I apparently did miss it. All right, Bucks Vikings. The post-TB12 era begins for Tampa. The Alexander Madison era begins for Minnesota. Let's see who comes out on top of this one. Tampa 8-9 last year. The Vikings 13-4, and then bounced in their very first playoff game. So let's see who bounces back here to start the season. Bucks are +4.5 at the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, and Baker Mayfield's actually been handed a pretty nice offensive roster. He's got two excellent, one world-class and one extremely good wide receiver, and they're both good at different things. You know, Godwin's that yak guy, and Evans is the field stretcher. Cade Otton had a nice first season as a rookie tight end. Rashad White takes over, nice burst, good, you know, now that they don't have to worry about, like, Leonard Fournette and the corpse of Leonard Fournette. Going 2 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. So maybe some of the nicest weapons overall that Baker Mayfield has had. And he gets to take them into a Minnesota team that did absolutely nothing to improve their defense, that let them win 13 games last year and still be underwater, which is still one of the most ridiculous stats you'll ever see for all the points they scored. Love the over on this game. I think this might be the shootout of the weekend. I could see Cousins, and on the other side, you've got Jefferson, and they added Jordan Addison. But if there's one part of this field where I'm just not sure if Alexander Mattison is a three-down bell cow type back. You know, he gives me those James Conner vibes, right? Or you're the guy when the other guy's not there, but when the other guy finally leaves, you're not the guy. I'm taking Tampa and the points.
Okay.
Because even if Minnesota wins, it'll be by 2 or 1. You know, and if they lose, it'll be by 30.
That's what they do.
That's the Vikings. Get a Viking. Skull. Skull.
Skull. I don't know if Alexander Mattison knows if he's a three-down back or not. I don't think anyone knows until he gets the chance to prove it. So,
yeah.
But I'm not saying he's not going to. I'm saying there's no way to know because he's never gotten that chance. So now he's going to absolutely get that chance. I'm fascinated if that Vikings defense will, again, piss away anything that the Vikings offense does, just like they did last year. Like I said, they bring in Brian Flores to run over that defense and see if that makes a difference. They might let Baker look decent, but it's still Baker Mayfield. So I'm going to err on the side of the Vikings this time. I don't feel great about that, but I'm going to give the 4.5. It
sounded like you felt a little icky making that one.
Yeah, I held my nose when I made that pick, but I can't take Baker. I'm sorry. He's still Baker Mayfield. Okay, the rest of the late afternoon games, now that I've gotten that out of the way. Did I miss any others early? Let me count live.
Why
does
anyone want to get to the end of the show? We're in the after show and go, did we pick Tampa, Minnesota?
I do have 16 games listed now, so I am whole. Thank you. Philly and New England, Eagles, Patriots. Philly at 14-3. What a great season they had, and what a great Super Bowl. Coming off short, but had every chance to put that thing away. And the Patriots, 8-9, kind of muddling along. They've already got injuries. They'll be missing their cornerback, Jack Jones. Guess what? He's got a hamstring. They'll be missing their they don't have too many receivers, but they will not have Devontae Parker. He's got a knee injury. Eagles come in as a very, to me, slight favorite. I was surprised by this spread. They're only -3.5 at the Patriots.
Yeah, there's a narrative push right now that seems to be this groundswell of support here for the Patriots, that this is a trap spot for the Eagles. I'm not buying it. I think the Eagles up and down the field are going to abuse Mac Jones. That defense at every level can get after it. I mean, we talked about it at the draft. They got better. I mean, how do you take a team that's in the Super Bowl? The team in the Super Bowl should never be picking 8 and just adding pieces. And then every piece that falls to you as you're drafting is like the highest rated guy on the board and then some, because everybody else is falling over themselves to prove their geniusness. And the Eagles are just like, well, we'll just keep taking defense. Yeah, like you said on the draft aftermath, their goal is to let teams not score at all.
It's quite the goal.
It is, and they might achieve it. I'm taking the Eagles. They get the bitter taste of that Super Bowl loss out of their mouths here at the Patriots.
It's hard to score any points when you can't get any yards. Get the
you can't win
Carter,
games if you can't score.
Mac Jones getting an actual offensive coordinator will make him better, will make a difference. I just don't know if it'll make a difference in week one, preseason week
is
4.
Not that day.
And not against that Eagles defense, which seems extremely fierce. I want Jalen Hurts and the Eagles to show me something. All right. I'm taking the Eagles, and I'm giving the 3.5 with you. But I want them
out,
to
just whip them.
I want them to win by 30. I want them to beat the brakes off the Pats because they're clearly a better team in all phases. And the Pats are professional, of course. They got the good coach. They got the solid defense. They're not gonna roll over. But if the Philadelphia Eagles are really all that, I want to see it. I want to see them win by 3 or 4 touchdowns because I think they should.
Yeah, I want to see backups in the fourth quarter.
Yes, just like the Tigers, Memphis Tigers last night at Arkansas State. God, that Arkansas State team is terrible, but I'll talk about that in the after show. Raiders-Broncos in AFC West action. The Sean Payton era has gotten off to a huge start, and they haven't even played a game yet. But that mouth of his is already making headlines. But the Raiders say, hey, we like making off-field headlines too. Chandler Jones is very unhappy with the organization to the point where they actually called like the SWAT team to his house to check on his. They actually did a wellness check. They did the wellness check that we talked about doing for Bryce in Brooklyn all these years. They actually did the wellness check.
Well, have them look for Matt Corral at the same time because he's gone MIA.
So safe to say he's not playing for the Raiders anytime soon or ever again. Denver, they'll try to run Jerry Jeudy out there because guess what? He's got a hamstring, but it's unlikely. As of this morning, the reports say that he's unlikely to play for Denver. This one is one of two cop-out lines we're going to have in a row. Raiders plus 3 at the Broncos.
Smells pushy. I'm taking the Broncos. There's nowhere to go but up for them after finally getting rid of Nathaniel Hackett and replacing him with an actual NFL coach. I don't think it's possible for them to look anywhere close to as bad as they looked last year. And if their defense can play with any amount of respectability, like if they can find that pride again after Nathaniel Hackett completely stripped them of it, then I think that they're definitely the better team on the field. And at home, wipe that stink of last year off of you. Go whoop the Raiders, who I think will be better as the season goes on, but not.
Yeah, let Sean Payton cook, right? Let Russ cook, let Sean cook. Did you hear what he said about Russ? About, hey, stop kissing all the fucking babies. You're not running for office.
Russ needs this guy.
Yeah, exactly. He needs somebody to tell him, hey, dude, what the hell are you doing?
This isn't the
kneeling
PR
up the aisle on the plane and trying to prove yourself to everybody? No. Man, cut all that shit out and play football.
Yeah, he's calling Russ out on his BS, and I like it.
I love it, absolutely. Yeah, just go and play. And he gets the Vegas defense to start strong, so that's another key. Gets the
Broncos country, let's ride.
That Raiders secondary.
Broncos country, let's ride.
So I will concur with you and take Denver and give the 3. Dolphins and Clipper Chargers, this is the East going out West. So we got the West going out East earlier. Now we got the East going out to the West Coast late. Darren Armstead, the left tackle for the Dolphins, he's out. He's got a leg injury and a back.
Oh, boy.
Tua's already got some problems, and they haven't even started yet. Miami 9-8 last year, Clippers 10-7. Dolphins are the cop-out underdog in this one, plus 3 at the Chargers.
Yeah. They should not be allowed to play this game in Southern California because this game might actually start a wildfire all by itself.
Ooh.
51 is it's the highest number on the board, and it's probably the lowest number on the board when it comes to this game. If this game doesn't go both teams into the 30s, I will be shocked. Love the Dolphins when Tua's upright. Can they keep him upright? That's the question. Last year he made it into week 4. That's good enough for me. I'll take the Dolphins.
It's a tough test for the Dolphins defense with, of course, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Kellen Moore should get Herbert balling early. Joey Bosa and company will get after Tua. That's the reason I don't necessarily love the over, is because how long is Tua going to be able to stay upright? And even if he is upright, how much can he pull off before Joey Bosa comes in? He's only going to get 2 seconds to throw the ball, right? So that's the deal with me. I don't know how long he's going to get, and I don't know how many hits he's going to be able to take before he goes down again. Pro Football Focus gave me a stat. L.A. solved the Miami O last year. Just last year, they actually did what I was talking about. It's not a stat, but it's just the observation reminding me of the fact that the Dolphins actually got shut down last year when they played the Chargers because they did what I said you got to do, take away Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle down the seams and make Tua throw underneath and with some touch, which he's not that good. So he can't do that. He's still not that good at quarterback, the actual quarterback position. Now, Mike McCarthy needs to find an adjustment. I'm not doubting he can, but I'm going to err on the side of the Chargers once again, since they seem to have the cheat code and know how to handle the Dolphins and Tua. So I'm going to take the L.A. and give the three. The other
pushy,
L.A.
though.
Team.
Sure, yeah, smells pushy.
That it does. The other L.A. team, the Rams out in Seattle. Boy, the L.A. Rams and all the issues that they have, and now Cooper Kupp with his hamstring on the PUP list. Yet another hamstring injury. But Seattle has issues. Jamal Adams is not going to play with his knee injury. He's not back yet. The rookie corner that they drafted, Devin Witherspoon, guess what? He's got a hammy. He's not going to play. With all that, still, Rams at 5-12 last year, just terrible. Seattle at 9-8 with their playoff push that they made under Geno Smith. Rams are the dogs plus 4.5 at the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Rams are the victory auto wreckers car of the NFL. You know, they're the Blues Brothers car pulling up to Daily Plaza at the end of the movie. I'm taking the Seahawks.
I concur. Seattle will look like the Legion of Boom has returned against these Rams. I don't know who the Rams are running at receiver anymore after Cooper Kupp. It's
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu Atwell. We said it both at the same time.
Is this the Rams theme song?
Pretty much.
Their fight song?
Let's go! Yeah! All right, Sunday Night Football. The Cowboys-Giants again. Do they do this every fucking year? Why are we seeing the Cowboys and the Giants on Sunday night again in week one? This is what...
The world hates us.
You talk about going to the well. Like, what's going to get a big rating? Let's Cowboys-New York on Sunday night. Huge rating. They already know. So they just go back to the well. Dallas 12-5 last year. Giants 9-7-1. Tight end Darren Waller would be a big addition for the Giants, except he's got a hammy. So I don't know how much he's going to play tonight, but I'll tell you, week one is the week of the hammies. Cowboys are the favorite, -3.5 up in New York.
Yeah, I don't even care about how good these teams are. It's the Cowboys at the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Give me the Giants. Love the hook.
Wink Martindale blitzing Zach into oblivion is how the Giants would get it done. And yet somehow I feel like Dallas is going to like take control late in the game and just sort of figure things out. It might be one of those where to take the Giants in the first half and the Cowboys in the second. I think once they make the adjustments and realize we got the better talent, we got the better team, we need to put these guys away. So I'm going to take Dallas and give the 3.5. I don't feel great about that, but you said 3-point game Sunday night. That very well might be how it turns out, but I got Dallas by 4.
That's
how strong I feel about that. All right, the main event of the week, Monday night, Buffalo and the Jets, the Aaron Rodgers debut in New York, and he draws the forgotten Buffalo Bills. They won't have Von Miller. He's on the PUP list with a knee injury, but they're still a pretty good team, despite no one really talking about them. 13-3 last year, folks. Don't forget about the Buffalo Bills. They are the favorite in this big matchup, -2.5 at the Jets.
We talked about the Bills summoning that pride, right, to come into this spot. They're the team that's been left at the altar as the Jets are being handed all the flowers. But I'm taking the Jets just because I've got the narrative play thing going on in my head here. I feel like there could be some, so shall we say, shenanigans on in this game. Yeah, I've got a weird feeling about this one. I think the NFL wants to get the Jets over so bad that what better place to show it than on Monday Night Football in front of everybody to see. I'll take the Jets and the points. Bills better win by 2.
It would be embarrassing for all that hype for Aaron Rodgers to go in there and lose his very first game, but they gave him a very tough team, 13-3 last year.
I know. Buffalo, I love the Bills. I'm doing this. I'm taking one for the team here because I want the Bills to just annihilate these guys.
And they need to show the world where they stand. They need to remind – we talked about it.
Yeah.
They need to tell everybody, hey, we're still the Buffalo Bills. All the Jets love and all the Aaron Rodgers love, they need to remind the Jets who they are. They need to remind the world who they are.
Man,
Jets
I wish they had Von Miller, though.
Yeah, that would be a big help. The Jets D is going to make it tough. The Bills got to overcome that. But yeah, I'm going with the narrative play of they're going to rise up and psych themselves up for this one.
I want you to win this pick.
I got to go. I picked the Bills to win the title this year, so I can't have them.
I know.
I'm
losing. We haven't both won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. More on our after show when we come back. Now into our VIP after show program, where I get to say how proud I am that I made it through that show upright because of how tired I am from last night. Although I
There's that part of me that just wants to see the Jets just go completely tits up in this game, you know? And Aaron Rodgers is melting down in the third quarter, and all this new look offense just not gelling the way that it's supposed to, and his receivers are running the wrong routes. And the Bills do what the Bills. I just worry because we know what they're capable of. And how many times do you just know what the Bills are capable of and then they let you down, right?
They just don't go do it. Yeah.
And as much as I want them to go in there and put, 38-7 on these guys, I don't know. I don't know if that would be allowed to happen. I want the Bills to annihilate the Jets so bad I picked against them.
Like, what are they going to do to stop the Bill? Are they going to call Project for charging and butting with his helmet when he runs over the Jets on a scramble? I don't know how they're going to possibly.
Maybe. But also, too, the Jets defense handled the Bills both times last year.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be tough.
So and we know what happens to Josh Allen when the pressure starts getting on him. I still don't think they did anything the Bills did to address their running game. I like James Cook. But is James Cook is now the sort of Alexander Mattison of the AFC. It's like James Cook was a nice sort of ancillary piece, change of pace. Is James Cook a every down, you can go to him all the time type NFL back? I don't know. I don't think he is. I think he's a better fantasy player than a real player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the problem is the Bills always know in the back of their mind that their lead running back when they really need anything to happen is Project. And the problem is how long is he going to be able to stay upright being the lead back and the quarterback?
No, Bills need they need a every down back. They need somebody who can just go in there and go and get you those 2 yards. When the guy who you know is going to go and get you those 2 yards is Josh Allen, you're going to wear down.
Yeah, that's what seems to have been happening. So I
think
they know
Singletary.
Right. They know they got
to
change
Dalton Kincaid.
We'll see if that is a difference maker on the slot there.
Because they're going to have them bottled up on the outside. The Jets are going to completely have that. They're going to have Diggs and whoever else they have still.
Gabe Davis.
Yeah, those guys. I think they're going to have them pretty well bottled up. So it's going to be can Allen be patient? Can Allen take the underneath stuff? Can he utilize running back? Can Cook become a receiver out of the backfield? And can they be patient? Because that's the way they're going to have to go on. They're going to have to go on 14, 15 play drives. I don't see 2-play 75-yard drives coming out of the Bills a lot in this game.
No, I don't think they're going to put up 30 points. But to my point of they need to show the world and remind everybody who they are. We talk about the Bills' struggles and what they're not going to be able to do on the outside and what they got to be patient to do. We're still talking about the number 7 rush offense in football last year. And the number 7 pass offense in football last year. Top 10 rushing and passing, the Buffalo Bills. They're going to figure it out. I just feel like they're going to find a way and figure it out in this situation Monday night at Aaron Rodgers with all the spotlight and all the love on them. I just feel like they're going to put that together. And it's going to be basically the reflection of how I see them performing this season and going and winning the Super Bowl is that us against the world, one of our last opportunities, we're getting a little long in the tooth. Everyone's talking about everyone else. Everyone's moved on past us. It's time for us to remind everybody who the fuck we are. So that's why I got to go with the Bills in this spot. Now, hopefully the refs don't come out and affect the game. That would really suck.
I can't blame you. I am going through my multiple DFS lineups and taking Mark Andrews out.
Yeah, take him straight out.
Yeah, so I'm running a test. Looks like I've got him out on a lot. And then we're still not so sure about Darren Waller tonight, but it says he's expected to play.
He's got a hammy. I mean, if he plays, how good do you think he's going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have him. I don't have a lot of Darren Waller tonight, so I'm not too worried about it. But I had several
lineups.
Might be out
there as a decoy.
I had several lineups that had Mark Andrews plugged into him, so he's gone.
Yes. He goes.
So, yeah, in my Lamar Jackson lineup, obviously I replaced him with Likely because he's the likely replacement. All the other ones just became T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah, well, I think we all know the tight ends to fill in when you got to go to emergency guys and all these other. Yeah, where's your Tennessee guy that I wound up drafting in my fantasy?
You know, for all the lineups that I have today, because I'm trying something different. I'm doing lower dollar values and I'm spraying more lineups out there, seeing how that works. So I think I do not own much. Chigo Okonkwo today, and he's my guy.
Yeah.
But just because he's my guy doesn't mean I play him every week. One of the lineups I actually have, because of the weird DraftKings rules, I have my tight end in that game is Taysom Hill.
Oh, brother.
So I got Taysom Tebow.
Well, Taysom Tebow, yeah.
Super cheap. And, hey, if he throws a touchdown, I get those points too. Yeah, so I've got a lot of different lineups today. I've got 20 different lineups for the game tonight.
Wow.
For the Giants and Cowboys, I've got 20 lineups, but I only did them at 50 cents a piece.
Okay.
So I'm only exposed to that game for $10.
Sure.
So I'm curious to see $10 worth of bets if I can make money on that with all these different lineups, with different captains and all these different things. So trying to do a little different approach because my approach last year was I would do a whole lot of $3 or $5 lineups, but not a whole lot, but I'd do like five of them,
Right.
So I'd do five lineups and I'd have $20 to $25 for the week. And, in most weeks I'd lose a little or I'd make a little, but I broke even most of last year. Now this week I've got like 35 lineups for that same $25.
Theoretically, there's more chances, right?
So right, more shots. So a lot of those though are the showdown tonight, and I'll probably do the same thing tomorrow night for Bills and Jets. A lot of variations. You get into these things where you can optimize your guys and figure it out. So it's actually, I have a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it and it's not costing me much money. I'd like it to eventually make me some money.
Of course. The thing that's so frustrating about DFS is why I can't play that many lineups because it doesn't matter how many lineups I play. Someone is going to score a touchdown. I have no idea who they are. I would have never put them in my lineup.
Like if Deuce Vaughn has three touchdowns tonight for the Cowboys, because he's 4'9". Yeah, I just did. Yeah,
well,
there's always
him,
going
folks.
To, like, it's that bracket buster, It's the guy who just breaks the slate, O.J. Howard last year.
Ah, that's right.
Two touchdowns
twice, right?
In week one for the tight end for the Texans. I don't know if he scored again.
Right. That's what drives me nuts about that. That makes me want to pull my hair out. I don't have any hair, but
yeah.
I'll play some DFS right now before noon comes up, but I'll probably play more like parlays and trying to figure out some of these spreads and over-unders that I want to tie up and try to make some 3, 4, 5 team pops off of those.
So I also have my Pro Football Focus, and they'll generate some lineups for you.
Okay.
So I tried something where I did – generated 10 lineups with them for today for the main slate, and I entered them in a dime entry.
All right.
So I've got 10 lineups for a dollar.
Okay.
I'm very curious to see how those lineups do versus the lineups that I actually made myself, where I created the lineup and I didn't use a generator or anything like that. Because I'm just like, okay, are these things BS? I want to know. So I'm on this little mission to improve my skills by actually using more tools this year and looking at things. So I actually have a lot of fun. I did a little bit with baseball. Baseball's too random for me.
Oh, my God. Who would have seen so-and-so go 4 for 5 with 2 homers today?
Right. Yeah, baseball to me, and baseball's such a slog, or I don't have the discipline to just every day, I'll check my lineups. Oh, God, check my lineups. Oh, this guy's not batting in the right spot today. Oh, no, this guy's on the bench. Oh, man,
right.
No.
Yeah, it can be a slog.
Yeah, and then I've got one $5 lineup, which was the one that I got for free because I played on Thursday night, so they gave you an entry into the lineup. And it, shockingly, I'm sure to you, is that's my Bears lineup.
Huh. Okay.
That's my Justin Fields lineup. Not a lot of Justin Fields and other guys, but.
But Justin Fields was an absolute fantasy monster.
Justin Fields put up 30 all by himself.
Yeah, he can do that. That's why you better beat the hell out of the Packers today. Come on, bear down.
They have to, right? They
better. They better. I'm looking over my one fantasy league lineup today, and I think the only question that I will pose, would you pull this move that I pulled for my defense? I drafted the Bills again, but in the very slight fear of Aaron Rodgers actually blowing up that first game and doing something, I'm going to bench the Bills, and I picked up Jacksonville going to Indy with that rookie quarterback. Okay.
You know, yeah, this is the problem I have with fantasy defense scoring is sometimes you get more points from bad defenses than you do from the stout defenses, right? Because sometimes if you just have a defense that goes out and plays a great game and pitches a shutout, but they don't really do a lot else, you get your 10 points and you go home.
Right. And you get like 2 sacks and nothing else.
Right. But you could have a team that goes out, gives up 27, but has 4 sacks and a pick six, and they score more. I hate defensive scoring for fantasy purposes. I really do. Last year, oh, man, who was it that kept – there was a run last year where Cleveland kept breaking slates with their defense. You know, they weren't doing anything extra special, but they were scoring, and that's – and it's huge.
That's all you need.
Six or a scoop and score. Oh, man. And it's so random. Look at the Lions defense on on Monday night, on Thursday night. I think they scored 9. You know, so you start
but
with
6
10.
Was because of a perfect pass to
right.
from Mahomes to Tony right in his hand.
Yeah, correct.
That goes for a pick 6.
And there were people who were in the money who were sitting there with Lions D.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine
you know,
that?
Could,
or
you, yeah. Or if you
were gambling legal, the people that pick Lions D as a prop to get a touchdown.
Well, yeah.
And they're
if
like,
you
oh,
Lions, if you captain the defense in a lot of these DFS slates for showdown, if you captain the defense of the other team, you captain a defense, it's cheap.
Right.
To captain a defense versus captaining Mahomes, right? So you can captain a defense and then just load up the rest of your lineup with all these skill position guys, and then the defense goes out and does that?
Yeah, that's
now
a strategy.
You've got
that's
a free 14 or 15 points,
right.
You know, from that defense because you get extra points when you captain. So that now becomes like a 14 for the Lions. And now you still could put Mahomes and you could have put all those other guys in there with a Lions captain defense. You would have won money.
Crazy.
Now,
that's just as random as the 4-for-5 baseball hitter. Like, how can you tell who's going to get a defensive touchdown that day?
Right. So the only people who are sitting there captaining Lions defense are the people who are building a lot of lineups.
Or people in Detroit.
Right.
Natives of Detroit. That's the only people that want to captain the Lions.
Remember that game I was so mad about last year when I wanted to get Nathaniel Hackett fired? Because I actually had that that showdown slate. I had both. I had both defenses.
Oh.
And I was just racking up points because they were both so bad that game, and they were getting sacks, and there were picks, and it was just a terrible football game. And, yeah, I had both defenses in that game.
There's so many bad Nathaniel Hackett games. Are you talking about the Thursday night one that the fans
talking
were leaving?
Talking about the game that the fans walked out.
Okay, yeah.
Colts.
I was going to say, or the England game where they should have lost probably.
That was the Atlanta game, right? That was the one where I was – that was the one where –
you had them
I fully expected them to fly over there and leave him there.
Fire him and leave him in England, right?
Yes.
No, that Thursday night was just...
That was the worst. That's Hall of Infamy bad.
It was a terrible game. Terrible, terrible football.
But I'm excited. Oh, man, we got to differ on 8 or 9. It was a lot.
Was it that many?
I was shocked how differently we saw week one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I didn't realize it was that many.
And
it
wasn't a lot where we see what because we weren't loudly disagreeing with each other. It was like I'd pick a team, and then you'd be like, "Well, I have to score 1 point the other way," or
right.
I'm going against you, but I just don't really feel so good about it. So there's not, you know, it's week one, so there's not a lot of known things, and the next week is even worse. That is
overreaction Sunday.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because it also goes into the lines.
Right, it definitely skews the lines when you got those overreactions.
Yeah.
No, clearly our most interesting disagreement for this week is going to be you writing that Ravens bandwagon for week one, which has worked so well over the years.
Houston's so bad.
I jumped off. I took the Texans. So we definitely got to keep an eye on that.
I might have against a better opponent.
Might have jumped off the Ravens. Yeah, the Texans aren't good. I understand that. I'm not suggesting they're going to surprise and win 6 or 7 games or anything like that.
And
it might, and
the fact that this snuck under 10. To me, it just feels like a gift. I struggle to see where Houston and Arizona, both of those big dogs, I just struggle to see where they find points. And it could be fluky special team stuff or who knows, or maybe I'm way overselling Washington. Maybe they're just they're terrible. I don't think Washington's terrible. I think Arizona, both of those are anti the other team picks, and some Ravens love because nobody's more ready week one than the Baltimore Ravens.
That's true. I understand. No, I struggle to see where Washington. I don't think they're very good. I don't see where they're going to score the points. Like I said, flood that under. So that's basically why I'm taking the Arizona and the points. I don't think Arizona's scoring 10 points, but I don't think Washington's scoring more than 15.
I see this as a high teens to, you know, the other team in the single digits kind of game.
That's exactly what I got. So,
like 16-7, you know, or 16-6 for Washington. I mean,
right? No, that's because you would cover it, so that's why you see that. Whereas I like 15-9 because that wouldn't.
15-9, I like that.
Yeah.
That's
no card.
All field goals. So wait a minute. I am gonna go and make a lineup for that game with both kickers.
Captain
both
the
defenses,
kicker.
and then like both Washington running backs.
Yeah, man, I don't like points in that game at all. So that's
you
the way
what?
You.
I'm doing it for you right now. Hang on.
Right.
I want to see if that game is on the board. I'm going to put a dollar on that. Hang on. Showdown, yes. Captain mode. Oh, hey, Arizona at Washington. Okay. Hang on. We're going to do this. All right. Put my one. I'm not going to. $1. One. Oh, single entry. There we go. So that way I don't have to worry about people putting 20 lineups in there. So I will captain Washington's defense. How's that sound?
Okay.
And I will flex. I'm going to put both Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson in my lineup.
Okay.
Both kickers. So I've got Joey Sly and Matt Prater. That only leaves at least me with $19,000. Patrick
Go crazy.
Mahomes playing in this game.
Oh, boy, you wish he was.
So
yeah, you can go crazy with the rest of that.
Both kickers. Wait. Oh, I didn't put – I can't do it. I can't use Arizona's defense, man. Oh.
You can't?
I mean, I can. All right.
I mean, you're,
there we go. There's my lineup. I left – a $50,000 salary. I've got $15,600 on the board. And all
Those
I am
are the lineups
playing
that
in
win.
This game, all I'm playing in, it's right. It doesn't matter. If this lineup money's out, I will give all credit to you.
Those are the type of lineups that make cash. That's how it happens. I was about to, before you finalize, I was about to say, really, the only other playable thing in that game, if you can't use both defenses, is Baby Terminator. Other than that, I wouldn't play any of the receivers because I don't trust either one of those quarterbacks.
No, I played both defenses because the only way Arizona covers this game is a defensive touchdown.
Right.
Or a punt return.
Or Baby Terminator. They just slam him and he just breaks through eventually.
So there you go. I just made what might be one of the cheapest DFS lineups on the slate. And I'll let you know. And it's not a big contest. That is only – there's only like 800 people in this one. So
that's 600 more than I would have thought.
And it's single entry, so that, like I said, so that means that each person can only play one lineup.
You can have people running in there and throwing 100 lineups in there, yeah.
Right. And it doesn't have a huge, first place probably pays $50, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, Baby Terminator.
After that game is over, I will screenshot my result, and I'll send it to you, and then we could recap that on the next show. That might even come up with an award. If that wins me money, that might be best of the week. Is us hating Arizona and Washington so bad that we played two kickers, two defenses, and two running backs?
I hope Zach Ertz doesn't go crazy for your sake.
I mean, both of those running backs are fantasy viable, Robinson and Gibson. So,
sure.
Those two guys could do it all by themselves. So that's fun. I'll be watching that one.
Defensive battles, it's tougher to make money in baseball DFS with when you're projecting low-scoring games, but it's possible if you just ignore the lineups and go down to the pitching props and do strikeouts and go low on the hits allowed and stuff like that. And then, of course, the under for the game. It's tough, but it can be done.
Apparently, one of the more popular strategies for MLB DFS is avoid the high-priced chalky pitchers because of what they do to your payroll, right? So don't throw all the money down on Spencer Strider, Clayton Kershaw every time they start because you're going to take like one-third of your team's salary. What you're looking for is the sneaky, like the cheap pitcher pitching against the bad team, right?
Yes.
Or the cheap
yes.
pitcher pitching in a ballpark, like with Wrigley with the wind blowing in, type
right.
situation. Look for those and then just load up studs on offense versus try to win with stud pitchers.
Right. I said DFS and then I talked about props for pitchers. So clearly
it's
I was
okay.
not talking about DFS.
You're talking
I was
about
talking
betting.
About single game parlays, right?
Yeah.
But
Which I wish I had some of that stuff, because I don't think I'd be betting so much on game results, but I would love to bet, like, receiving props and rushing props and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I can't do it.
Can't do it. Not yet. Not legal yet.
No. No. I mean, I'm the guy who told you Clemson in the under when we were in Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. You know, if I could, if I didn't have to work Saturdays and I could sit there and study college, I'm sure people make a killing with some of these games last night and yesterday.
No, do you know where I would have made money?
So
would have been
so
fading
easy.
Wisconsin these last 2 weeks. Because when I saw the Badgers ranked going on the road to Washington State and only giving 5.5, I was like, they're going to lose. They got blown out. And then the week before, they were 28-point favorites. I'm like, the Badgers never cover 28 anymore. I could have faded the Badgers twice and won both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're just always they've got this bad thing about gagging it up. And I'm not a Badgers fan, but I live in the state, so I have exposure. So you just kind of, you know, like you have with the Titans, right?
Right.
You're not necessarily a Titans fan. You appreciate what they do, but you know,
right.
You
I'm a fan because of what I've seen them do.
Right. You have an act. You don't have an active rooting interest. Like if the Titans and the Bears are playing, you're rooting for the Bears.
I'm probably rooting for the Bears. Yes.
And but because you have so much, you know, familiarity with the team because you're in the market and you know you have that insight. Than somebody who lives in another city might have, if they, you know, somebody lived in Denver would have, right? So I have that exposure to the Badgers, so I've seen the history with them, and I would, man, I could have faded them so hard the last two games and won money.
Well, I had the exact same experience with the Memphis Football Tigers, the University of Memphis, getting to watch their opener last week, last Saturday live, where they played some 1A team, I think Bethune-Cookman, and you know, playing with their food and destroying them easily. And then knowing that they were going out to Arkansas State last night, not seeing any of the Arkansas State opener last week against Oklahoma, but just seeing the scoreboard and seeing that Arkansas State lost their opener at Oklahoma by the score of 73-0, that should have told me that the Tigers are going to go to Arkansas State last night and absolutely destroy them.
And they did.
And the line was only 21. Memphis was only -3 touchdowns against Arkansas State, and they had that covered in the first half and went on to roll 37-3. I should have thrown $500 fucking dollars on Memphis -21 because I had that. I knew they were going to kill them, and I didn't do it. And I was so mad at myself because it was so obvious. But and that happens all the time. There's so many matchups that are just like that where you know if you were paying attention, you know, okay, this team is okay but not great, but this other team doesn't even belong playing football. So, of course, they're going to go destroy them. But, I can't keep up with all of that. And there are people who do, who that's their jobs, and they make plenty of money off of that. And I should have done it last night. It didn't occur to me, but I should have.
I was driving home Thursday night because I have to catch the first, you know, quarter of Thursday night football in my car most Thursdays. And I'm listening to ESPN or whoever it is, or Fox Sports Radio, whichever sports station. I can't get that many of them. And they're hyping, it's a pregame show, and they're really hyping up, I think it's ESPN, and they're really hyping up this Sky Moore over receiving yards prop bet. And I was so sick of these two. After driving for 15 minutes, I wanted to pull out an app and fade that so hard. And I couldn't because they were pushing the guy who was on he was going out of his way.
He's so sure.
To push. He just knew because not only that, but he's also trying to prop up whatever, you know, blonde bombshell they have that does these things now. I wish I could fade all of them, you know, because whoever the one is on ESPN or was it NFL Network who does all the analytics that are always wrong and every game score she predicts is within 2 points. And I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but
no, because they're all the same to me.
But yeah, they're all awful. And if she's sitting at a computer coming up with all this stuff on her own, Godspeed to her. But I'm pretty sure that's all being fed in through a earpiece.
And for those who aren't aware, Sky Moore, Thursday night, one carry, 4 yards, 3 targets, 0 catches.
Yeah. Yeah. His prop bet was 44 receiving yards.
He was 44 under that prop.
And they were telling everybody, hammer this over for Sky Moore receiving yard. Yeah. And I was like,
wow. They were hard wrong. They were like me. They were loud wrong.
And I'm driving home like, no way. I want to fade. I want to go on. I want this under so bad I could taste it. And I couldn't. I should have called you.
I'm your bookie now.
Hammer the score. I hammer Sky Moore on the under.
Could have covered your part of Blog Talk Radio fees for the last 2 years just by hammering that.
Yeah, I wanted to hammer the under on that so hard. Could you imagine if you just took all the KC receivers and parlayed the under?
Man, that
would have made.
That would have cashed a lot. Yeah.
Not that you would ever have expected that with Patrick Mahomes, but.
But I kind of thought that he wasn't going to be that big. I called for 290 in the air, and he only got to 276. So that was
I don't know what his prop was, but
yeah, I think I wrote that wrong. 226, not 276.
Yeah, and they got to go to the Jags next week.
Yeah, that's not going to be easy either.
No, it's a clear bounce back spot, but
as we know, strange things happen
spot.
In Jacksonville.
It's a bounce back spot for the Chiefs, but it's not a get right spot. Does that make sense?
No. I guess I understand that.
Like bounce back
should.
As far as you need to go bounce back, but mm-hmm. It's not a guarantee.
It's not a guarantee. Things happen in Jacksonville and their defense is
that team is actually good.
Yeah. Maybe it's pretty
stout. So in years past, that would be, we're going to Jacksonville week. All is right with the world. Not so much anymore.
And you can't trust, and plus you can't trust the Chiefs' offense right now anyway, because until they get on the same page, they look very shaky. Like, is he going to keep – I know Mahomes said after the game that Tony's going to be okay and he's going to keep trusting him. He has to be in
How?
His mind. He had to be cussing
He's like
Tony
Brett
out
Maher
of his mind.
Now.
Yeah, we love him. We're going to trust him. No, we really aren't. What we're going to say out loud, we're going to trust them and love them. And,
do you remember last year when Christian Watson dropped that touchdown on the first play? Like, he was a ghost for the next 9 weeks.
Of course.
I mean, we might not see Kadarius Toney till 2028. He is going.
That's what I'm saying is you shouldn't. You shouldn't see him get targeted ever again.
He should be in witness protection right now.
You shouldn't, but Mahomes was talking after the game like he was going to keep targeting him and like he was going to be a big part. Like, how? I couldn't believe Mahomes didn't cuss him out on the field. Like,
I mean,
if I'd have done that and if I'd have thrown a perfect ball in his hand and watched it go the other way, I'd have been like, you motherfucker, what the hell?
Trust me, I know. It happened to me. Don't worry.
I
threw balls when we were in high school that would hit dudes in the chest, bounce off their chest, and then into the defensive guys. What am I supposed to do? That's on me, right? That's a pick. I should have thrown that right into your chest.
Terrible. Interception on you. Awful. I tweeted that. I was like, what a terrible throw by Patrick Mahomes.
Because
I didn't want the blowback.
Tony was so bad. If the Chiefs played in Rio de Janeiro, the fans would have murdered him after the game.
Oh, that's not good.
That's own goal stuff right there.
Oh, dear.
You don't own goal, right? You know what happens in South America, man. You own goal in a soccer match.
Hey!
It's
cartel's
over.
Coming for you.
That's right.
So, Kadarius Toney, you better be loving the land of the free.
you own goal in those situations, and about the end of it for you.
You get the Effingham treatment. They take you around back of the building and gone.
Where you go? What happened to him?
Who? Hey. Who?
Tony. Kadarius. Tony.
19? Who?
Yeah. He's just, okay. I guess he doesn't exist anymore. All right, moving on. So, yeah, we made it through week one. It's a long night for me in the early morning, and yet still, I got my coffee, and we got it done, and thank you for covering me and making sure I didn't miss a game. Because somehow I completely overlooked one. But we got them all in.
Watching, I'm looking at the list because I'm on the covers page, watching the lines change as we're making the picks, which is fun. And, yeah, because I actually picked Tampa Bay and Minnesota at 5, and now I've got it. It's 4.5, but that's fine. It's honest.
It's the honest, up-to-date odds.
I like that. You know, and you want to keep rolling Sundays in this condition, that's great. Obviously, I told you the 24th, no chance. So,
okay, so
I will not be accessible
be Friday,
that
so.
Day. So that will have to be a Friday or a Saturday night show.
24th, I'm pretty sure the or 23rd rather, the Arkansas State is at home again, so I'm pretty sure this is the first game for Arkansas State, the first home game. They contacted the two Memphis guys, that's me and my partner whose name is Christian, and they got us both out there to do the first Arkansas State game. The next Arkansas State game is next Saturday. And they already got us both for doing that game as well. I don't think they have an Arkansas State guy. I think we're the Arkansas State guys.
Oh,
right now.
Now are these at least are these like 11:30 kickoffs at least or 11 o'clock kickoffs next week? You know,
nope, 6 o'clock next Saturday and the Saturday after that. They're
that's
home
wild.
It's understandable in the Mid South
because
Memphis games are all at night.
I get it.
I'm pretty
Wisconsin,
sure they're doing
the games all kick off at 11.
Right. No, they're all 6. The next Memphis game is Thursday night, and that's 6:30. And yeah, all the games
doing
are all
that
in
one
the evening.
Too?
Yes,
we're
the Memphis guys, so we're obligated to do the Memphis home games.
Right.
But the Arkansas State ones, they ask us, and we don't have to take those. But we're just taking all the money right now. We're like,
so what's the experience like going to an Arkansas State game?
We're like white teenage girls right now. We're just saying yes to everything. YOLO. It was fine. I enjoyed Jonesboro. It's a very lonely, desolate drive between Memphis and Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is understandable. But once you actually get to Jonesboro, it's a typical college town. There's Buffalo Wild Wings and Burger King and McDonald's and Panera Bread and Walmart and Walgreens. It's a typical town with everything that you would expect. And the stadium is cute and I think it only holds like 35,000, so it's, you know, a step above a high school stadium, but it's fine. It's, you know, it is what it is. The parking again was another, bitching and moaning again about parking because I'm fat and old and I hate walking when you don't have to, because there's plenty of, again, just like the Liberty, plenty of parking space around the actual stadium that we don't have access to because they said that's for donors. Oh, well, good for the donors.
Oh.
So, it's line when you're driving down the main street to get to the stadium, you encounter an arena, which is, I assume, their basketball stadium, then a small baseball field, and then the football stadium is past that, all on the left. I saw everybody start lining up at the arena to start turning into that, and I drove past that to go down to the football stadium. I'm like, my thought process was there must be a concert or something at that basketball stadium. That's why everybody's going into that parking lot. No, that's because where everyone else has to park that isn't a donor is at the baseball stadium or the basketball stadium and then walk 500 miles to the football stadium. So I found that out eventually when I got over there. So that's what I had to do is turn back around and go back down to the baseball stadium and park on the grass and hope the car didn't sink into the grass and all that. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's there's plenty of parking right there, but because I'm not a donor, I don't have access to that. So that's everything else about the experience was fine. The same metal benches, hard as hell. I'm actually already invested in buying a stadium seat with a back support in it. Cause
with the hook. Yeah, hook. Yeah, they you have to have those at Lambeau.
Uh-huh.
So that's big up here because Lambeau is mostly benches, unless you sit in the upper deck, which I like, which is all seats.
No, interesting. No, we were in the upper deck, and it's all metal benches. So yeah, I'm already gonna bring my cushion and my back support that I ordered, and I'm gonna be ready to go because it's two games now that I've done with no back support and no cushion, and at the end of the both of those games, I'm like, I can't do this. This is fine for young people, but I can't sit here at age 47, going on 48, and 300. whatever fucking pounds I am now, and do these games with no support and no cushioning at all. This is, that part is torture. Everything else is fine. The app is working fine, it looks like, and they're telling us great job after the game. So apparently they're getting the data that they need. And we had our first encounter of somebody looking over our shoulder and going, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" Which happened all the time when I was doing the baseball, so I'm used to that. But my partner, this is his first time doing anything like that, so he got a little verbose. He was trying to explain it in a little more depth and detail than I would have. I would have been like, "Yeah, we're just scouting. We're just we're working for a independent promotion, and we're just scouting." That's basically all I would have said. But you're gonna get that. Guys are gonna be they're looking at you, keeping up with the clock and the scoring and the plays and all that. And they're gonna, "Oh, what's going on there?" But it's fine. It's so long as they don't try to like muscle in and try to like, "I don't know what you're doing there, but I don't like it," or something, "Tell me more about that," something like that. Like, "No, I'm not going to tell you more, because number one, I'm working and I'm busy, and number two, is none of your business." But you're going to have interested people, so that's understandable. But yeah, everything is working perfectly fine. Just holding my breath until the end of the month, because that's when the funds are supposed to come in. They're accruing all of this up, and they're going to give you all of it in one big ball at the end of each month. So I got to wait till September 30th to make sure they're keeping up with all of this. But so far, so good. And we're doing all these Arkansas State games because there's a distance bonus to that. So in addition to, the money that we're making for each game. So yeah, everything so far, so good.
Well, good. Good.
Long
so
drive.
You're enjoying it, so.
Hour wow. 20 each way, long drive.
That's not bad.
You like driving, so it's not so bad for you. I was like, "Oh, my God."
Now, I will say, having driven through that part of the country, when you're down there in the Mississippi River Valley down there, there's no scenery.
No, very empty.
It is one
empty
of that drive, that drive up 55 along the Mississippi River, between basically when you're in Arkansas. So on the Arkansas side, when you're driving from Memphis along the river up almost most of the way into Missouri, a horrible drive.
Very lonely. Very, very empty.
Yeah, very boring. And yeah, we get to go do that in about a month, a little over a month. Wow. So we're excited. But my wife, we talk every few days about how excited we are to come down there and we have some Corkies and see you guys. And first stop, actually second stop on our way to Florida.
Well, we'd be very, very excited and happy to see you guys. I hope I won't fall asleep at dinner because I'll be very tired by
then. I'm not ill like I was the last time I was down there.
Right.
I was not doing well. I remember eating like one rib, and then you guys didn't see me the rest of the evening because I was in the restroom.
No, we knew because we saw how green your face was. So we knew what you were going through.
Yeah, it was so miserable. And it was just a stomach virus, and everybody in the family ended up getting it on a different day, and that was just my turn.
Yeah.
I mean, after we got done with you guys, we were driving because we were staying in Tunica, which we're not doing this time. We're actually, after we're done hanging out with you guys, we're planning on driving a couple more hours yet, so we're probably going to try to get somewhere well into Mississippi, below that kind of area, just to get us a head start on the last day, because I want the third day to not be super long. I want to get there. So
I understand that.
Yeah, but we're staying somewhere in Illinois that first night, so our drive from where we're probably going to end up staying down to you guys isn't that long, so we'll probably be down there by you guys sometime mid to late afternoon. I wouldn't expect. Yeah, it's only six hours roughly from where we're. Yeah, so that's not a long drive at all.
Yeah, it's not so bad, but it's just the whole trip in total is just oof.
Yeah, it's just we're just doing it in pieces, So we're breaking it up so that every day isn't just anything but driving, which is nice because it allows you to just stop if you want to for a while too.
Yep, I get that. All right, so about ready to clear out and get ready for week one?
Yeah, I got my NFL app all loaded up on my TV upstairs so I can watch Red Zone, my happiest 3 hours every Saturday, every Sunday, I mean, is that my football crack. I'm loving it. Got my phone with me so I can see how all of our DFS is doing. So all this money that I got now, $26, not a lot, but I'm just so – all I want to watch now is what I'm getting off of that Arizona-Washington game. If that game shoots out, we're screwed.
We find a way to make that game interesting, though. That's what gambling does, right?
That is degeneracy personified, what we just did on that game with two defenses, two kickers, and both running backs from one team.
You know what? I won't let you be alone in your degeneracy. I'll go in my actual gambling apps and flood that under like I was telling everybody else to do. I'll back my words up. That's right. I will do that. I will back my words up. Maybe every parlay play I make, I'll make that as part of it.
There's nothing more than I would love to see than two defensive tutties for Washington and one going the other way for Arizona and all field goals after that.
But not too many. You've got to keep it under 38.
Oh, that's right. So, okay, yeah, because I want you to profit as well.
That's right. Thank you.
All right. No, it was a good show. Eight we disagree on. We'll find a way to split those right down the middle.
That's what we do.
There's a drop we need.
Joey Styles talking about Bill Alfonso calling it right down the middle.
Right down the middle, Daddy.
I'll look for that if I remember.
I can still see him doing the chop.
Yes.
The right down the middle. There's your non-wrestling Daddy. Fans wrestling reference for the show.
Okay, gotta have one. Take
and
a
the
drink.
Whistle, right?
That's right. All right. Yeah, I'll get these picks put up on the blog. I gotta go into freak mode and do all this stuff and make all my bets and plays and whatnot before noon comes. So that's the other part of the Sunday morning experience.
Well, now I know if I need to hammer a prop as hard as I ever do again with Sky Moore, I'm texting you.
Hey, if you get that
lay me 20 on the Sky Moore under. I'm good for it.
Absolutely. All right. We are going to call it a day and get ready for real football to return in a very short amount of time, an hour and 13 minutes from where we sit right now. All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We are back next Sunday, and that's going to be a recap as well as
that's the football party
too. That's the big football party.
We had some hardware to hand out next week.
That's right. We still really haven't discussed how we're going to do that as far as the drops go, but we'll get it all figured out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, as we
always. It's always it's a work in progress with this show.
That's okay. Everybody enjoy your football for week one, and we will talk to you once again next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock Central, 10 Eastern. Football!
Yay sports!
Yeah!